Brevet, how are you today? We're about to start our 15th Business in Focus class, in which we're going to take a closer look at some sentences that we saw in our previous dialogue. Remember? In our previous dialogue, we met Mr. Hoffman, a foreign collaborator. He is German and he's in Boston to check to inspect the company's facilities, and he was welcomed by our colleague, Mr. Weber. Right? Now that our memory is refreshed, let's take a look at those sentences to work on those structures, to work on our vocabulary, and also on our pronunciation. Let's get started. Well, we'll start there with sentence number one. Did you have a good trip? Did you have a good trip? Remember that last class, teacher Luis talked to you a little bit about the difference between the words trip and travel, right? So today, I'm only going to focus a little more on the pronunciation of the word trip, okay? It's something more like trip, trip, trip. So trip, 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 okay? Trip. Did you have a good trip? Trip, trip, right? Did you have a good trip? Okay? How was the trip? How was the trip? How was the trip? All right? Did you have a comfortable trip? Did you have a comfortable trip? Here we also have the word comfortable, right? In which, as you may recall, we have to close our lips to pronounce the letter M. So comfortable, comfortable trip, comfortable trip. Did you have a comfortable trip? Did you have a comfortable trip? All right. Are you very tired from the trip? Are you very tired from the trip? Here also we have the word from, which ends in M. So once again, we have to shut our lips to pronounce it. So from the trip. From the trip, tired from the trip. Are you very tired from the trip? Okay, moving forward. It was a very comfortable trip. Once again, comfortable and trip. Comfortable trip. It was a very comfortable trip, right? The trip went really well. The trip went really well. Here we have a very interesting expression, which is to go well. Go well, when things go well, it means that they progressed in a nice way. So if things went well, things progressed in a nice way with no problems, right? So with no problems. I can say then the trip went really well, or I could say this project is going well. For instance, or even, I think this isn't going to go well. So I think this isn't going to go well. Isn't going to go well. Isn't going to go well. I think this isn't going to go well, right? So I think this is not going to progress in a nice way. I think this is going to have some problems. I think this isn't going to go well, right? So go well, progress without problems. All right. I had a great trip. I had a great trip. No secrets here. I'm a little tired, but the trip went quite well. I'm a little tired, but the trip went quite well. Here we have, besides this very interesting expression, which is go well, we have also the word quite, right? We saw also a very interesting, a very complete explanation about the word quite with our teacher Luis some classes ago, so you might still remember some of its uses. In our case here, quite is being used as pretty, pretty meaning an adverb, or rather, or very, right? So the trip went quite well, the trip went pretty well, the trip went rather well, the trip went very well. All right, moving forward, do you have accommodation? Do you have accommodation? So here, once again, we have that word that indicates a place to stay, the word accommodation. And now we're gonna see some other ways to ask if a person has a place to stay. The first of them is very literal. Do you have a place to stay, right? Do you have a place to stay? So do you have accommodation? Did you find a hotel? Did you find a hotel? Or where are you staying? Where are you staying? Here we have two important things to emphasize. First of all, the pronunciation of where are. Because we tend to pronounce it together, something like where-er, right? Where, where are, where are you staying? Where are you staying? Where are you staying? Okay, so it's kind of a long-er sound. Where are you staying? And secondly, you may have noticed that there are two possibilities of meaning for this sentence there. We can either say, where are you staying? Meaning that the person is already in the city, the person already has accommodation, and the person is already staying there. So the person is already staying somewhere. In a hotel, in a hostel, in an apartment, and so on. Okay, so where are you staying? You can ask that already knowing that the person is staying somewhere. You just want to know the address, for example, okay? Or we can use, where are you staying? In terms of future, so the person isn't staying anywhere, doesn't have the accommodation yet, so the person is not staying in a hotel, in an apartment, and so on yet, but will stay. So the person isn't staying anywhere yet, right? Yet, but the person will stay somewhere, okay? So this happens because, as you may remember, we can use the present continuous to indicate things that are going on in the present or things that are going to happen in the future. Both possibilities are accepted. Both possibilities are okay, right? So, where are you staying? The question, where are you staying, can either mean that the person is already staying somewhere or that the person is not staying somewhere yet, but is going to stay somewhere soon in the future. All right, moving forward. I booked a room at a local hotel near the office. I booked a room at a local hotel near the office. Here, once again, let's just remember that the pronunciation of the verb book in the simple past is booked, right? Booked. I booked a room. I booked a room. I booked a room at a local hotel. Okay? So 4.1, I found a hotel near the office. I found a hotel near the office. No problems there, right? I'm staying in a hotel downtown. I'm staying in a hotel downtown. Downtown is more of an American English word. If you're in the UK, you're probably gonna see another word. So downtown, normally American English. If you're in the UK, you might see the word city center, right? So British English, normally. And also notice that in American English, we spell center, C-E-N-T-E-R. So American English, while in British English we spell C-E-N-T-R-E, right? So British English, okay? And this is gonna happen with other words as well, like theater. So theater in American English and theater in British English. Okay, so there are other similar words that are gonna have this difference in terms of spelling, right? ER in American English and RE in British English, and both are okay. All right, moving on. I will stay at a colleague's apartment. I'll stay at a colleague's apartment. No big deals there, right? So let's move on. There is a car waiting for us. There's a car waiting for us. Once again, here we have one of those situations in which you have to try to memorize the verb with the preposition, right? So if you wait, you wait for someone, something, or anything like that, right? So wait for someone or something. So I can either say, I'm waiting for you, right? Or I can say, I'm waiting for my car. I'm waiting for you, so I'm waiting for someone, or I'm waiting for my car, I'm waiting for something. All right? I have a driver waiting for us. Two things here. Notice how I kind of contract the word I and the word have and pronounce it like I've, right? I have a driver waiting for us, okay? So normally in everyday fast speech, I contract the words I and have, and I'm gonna say I have a driver, right? And the word driver is actually a very interesting word because it belongs to a category of words that are made up of a verb followed by ER. So you have a verb, and if you add ER in the end, you have the name of the professional that performs that task. So a driver is a person who drives, right? So it comes from the union of drive and ER. Because drive ends in E, we just add R. All right, so the person who drives is the driver. Therefore, you can say that the person who sings is the singer. The person who plays is the player. The person who teaches is the teacher, and so on, right? So you can have many names of professions that are derived from this kind of structure here. You have the verb that indicates what the person actually does, and then you add ER in the end, and you have the name of the profession, right? Very nice. But let's move on with our class here. There is a shuttle waiting for us. Shuttle, as you know, as you can see there in our translation, is a transportation service, right? But it's very, very, very common to see the word shuttle here in Brazil as well, right? So shuttle means shuttle, right? I'll drive you to the office. One thing that's interesting to notice about this sentence here is that the word drive, the verb drive, not only means that you are driving a vehicle, that you are conducting a vehicle, right? The word drive can also mean to take someone in your car or in a car, right? So if you take someone to school, for example, by car, you drive this person. So you can say, I drive my kids to school every day, meaning that you take your kids to school every day using your car, right? I could also say, they drove me to the airport. So they took me in a car, by car, to the airport. All right, so the verb drive doesn't only mean that you are conducting, that you are driving. It can also mean that you are taking someone in your car. So I'll drive you, I will take you in my car somewhere. All right, moving on. May I help you with your luggage? May I help you with your luggage? No secrets there. Can I help you with your bags? Can I help you with your bags? Let's just take the chance here once again to remember that luggage, the word luggage, which means the bags, all the bags you have when you're traveling, is uncountable. So it's singular, right? If you want to talk about something countable, something you can count, 1, 2, 3, you're going to talk about your bags, about your briefcases, about your backpack, and so on. So those things are all countable, right? Those things are all countable, so they can have either singular or plural, right? So I can say, I have a bag, I have one bag, I have a briefcase, one briefcase, I have a backpack, one backpack, or I have bags, briefcases, backpacks, and so on, right? If you want to talk about all of that, your bags, your briefcase, your backpack together, that's your luggage. And your luggage is not countable, right? So it's always singular. All right, so you could say, for instance, where are my bags? But where is my luggage? Okay, so bag is countable. It can be more than one. You can say one bag, two bags, three bags. But the word luggage, which encompasses all your bags, is always singular because it's uncountable. All right, moving forward. Can I carry your briefcase? Can I carry your briefcase? No secrets there. Do you need help with your luggage? Do you need any help with your luggage? Once again here, let's remember that we normally link the word do and the word you, and we pronounce them together. Do you need help? Do you need help with your luggage? All right, moving on. I've been here twice already. Remembering that twice means two times, right? So if I want to say one time, I'm going to say once. So one time. If I'm saying two times, it's twice. And three or more times, 3, 4, 20, 50, and so on, times. Okay, so once, twice, three times, four times, 20 times, 50 times. Okay, so I've been here twice already. I've been here two times already. I've been here several times. I've been here several times. Several, once again, appears here in our sentences. Several means basically many, right? So I've been here many times. I've been here several times. I've never been here before. I've never been here before. Why am I using the present perfect here, and why is it important to use the present perfect when you're talking about an experience that you haven't had yet? When I say I haven't been here, it means that I didn't come here in the past, right? So never in my life I saw that place, I was in that place, but there is a future possibility. Okay, there is a future possibility, or maybe this possibility is occurring right now, which is our case here, right? I've never been here before, so in the past I never had a chance to be here, but now, right now, look at me, I'm here, right? So if I use the present perfect, it means that something hasn't happened yet, but it might happen in the future. Let me give you one example to make things very clear here. If I say, poor Peter, he has never seen the ocean. Poor Peter, he has never seen the ocean. So Peter had never had the opportunity to see the ocean until now, right? But maybe in the future he will have an opportunity and he will be able to see the ocean, right? If I say, on the other hand, so let me put here that there is a future possibility. But if I say, poor Peter, he never saw the ocean, what does that mean? It probably means that Peter either died or he is in prison and never coming out. Who knows? The thing is that he has no future possibility of seeing the ocean, right? So there isn't a future possibility, right? So poor Peter, he has never seen the ocean. There is a future possibility that Peter will see the ocean once in his life. If I say poor Peter, he never saw the ocean. He never saw the ocean in the past and he will never see the ocean in the future. There is no possibility for him to see the ocean. All right, moving on. This is my first time here. Notice how interesting is the pronunciation of the words this is, right? This is my first time here. Okay, so this is. So you link them together. This is. All right, moving forward. You see that the traffic here is much better. No big deals here. You notice that the weather here is unpredictable. It sounds pretty much like my city here, Curitiba, right? But I want to draw your attention here to the word unpredictable. Unpredictable is what? Is something you can't predict. Something you can't predict is something unpredictable. And the opposite of unpredictable is then predictable, which is something that you can predict, right? So if predictable is something you can predict, and unpredictable is something you can't predict, then the prefix un means basically not. So unpredictable, not predictable, right? You can see that construction in many other different words, such as uncomfortable, which is not comfortable, or unfair, which is not fair, or unemployed, which is not employed, and so on. So you may see that we use the prefix un with all those adjectives. That's important to notice. So adjectives. We use the prefix un with all those adjectives meaning not. So uncomfortable, not comfortable. Unfair, not fair. Unemployed, not employed. Unpredictable, not predictable. All right, moving on. You should know that people here are much friendlier. You should know that people here are much friendlier. One interesting thing to notice here about the word should is that it's not being used to indicate an obligation, right? In the sense of you should stay here with your mother. So it is your obligation to stay here with your mother, right? In this case here, you should know that people here are much friendlier. I'm using should to express it would be good for you to know. So it would be good. You should know it would be good for you to know. Okay, so it's a good idea that you know what? That people here are much friendlier. All right, as you see, there's a lot of stuff to do here. The word tough is a very interesting and very useful word, because it means unspecific. See here, once again, the prefix un, so unspecific, not specific, right? So unspecific material or object or concept and so on. Something not specific, something unspecific. So basically things in general, right? So I could use stuff, for example, to say, put that stuff over there. I'm not specifying what kind of objects I'm talking about. I'm just saying those things, right? Put those things over there, put that stuff over there. I could also say, what kind of stuff are you planning to buy? What kind of stuff are you planning to buy? So what kind of things are you planning to buy? I'm not, once again, being specific about the kind of things I'm talking about, right? Just one more example. We shouldn't talk about such stuff. We shouldn't talk about such stuff. So we shouldn't talk about such stuff. We shouldn't discuss these kind of things. I'm not specifying what kind of things I'm talking about. So I'm just saying stuff, such stuff, these kind of things. We shouldn't talk about such stuff. All right, very nice. Moving on. I'm sure I'll appreciate that. I'm sure I'll appreciate that. No problems here. I'm sure that'll come in handy. I'm sure that'll come in handy. Two interesting things about this sentence here. First of all, the pronunciation of the contraction of that and will, which is that'll come in handy. I'm sure that'll come in handy, right? And the second thing is this expression here, come in handy, which is something that turns out to be handy, something that proves itself handy. And what's handy after all? Handy means useful, something that turns out to be useful, something that proves itself useful. All right, moving forward. I'm certain this will be great. Once again here, let's remember the pronunciation of the word certain, right? In which the tain part is not really pronounced, right? Certain, certain, certain. I'm certain this will be great. And also we can use sentence 9.3 to practice that, right? I will certainly enjoy that. I will certainly enjoy that. Certainly. Certain, certainly. Certain, certainly. Okay, moving on. I am sorry that this meeting had to be arranged on such short notice. I'm sorry that this meeting had to be arranged on such short notice. Notice that we are using the word that here as an equivalent of the word because, right? I'm sorry that this meeting had to be arranged on such short notice. I'm sorry because this meeting had to be arranged. So I'm indicating the reason, right? I'm indicating the reason why I am sorry. This sometimes can be a little tricky to understand, so I'm going to call my colleague Louise to explain it to you a little bit better.
The word that can be used to indicate something, such as in that man or that thing over there, but it can also be used to introduce a new phrase. The phrase introduced by that often has the function of presenting additional information about something that we mentioned before. For example, let's imagine two phrases. She is the manager. She is the manager that I was telling you about yesterday. Notice how in the second phrase I gave you more information about who she is? That can also be used to introduce a complement for a verb. This is particularly common with verbs like say, think, hope, believe, and discover, for example, and can often be omitted from the phrase without any impact on the meaning. She said that she would call you today. We think that he's got an important message for us. That can also introduce a relative phrase that complements another phrase, not necessarily just a verb. For instance, you could have a phrase like this: I'm sorry that your project wasn't approved. In conclusion, don't expect the word that to be just a demonstrative pronoun. It can have many other functions.
Very well then, let's see one more example here of a similar sentence there. 10.1. I'm sorry that we couldn't invite you earlier. I'm sorry that we couldn't invite you earlier. So the reason I am sorry is that we couldn't invite you earlier, right? And now notice how we have a similar but a little different structure on sentence 10.2. I'm sorry I didn't send you a message before. I'm sorry I didn't send you a message before. Notice that the word that isn't present there. I'm sorry, I didn't send you a message before. So notice that in this sentence here, in this kind of situation, the word that isn't mandatory. It's optional, right? I could say, I'm sorry that I didn't send you a message before. But I don't really have to. I can just say, I'm sorry, I didn't send you a message before. All right, moving forward to our last sentence here. 10.3, my apologies for not speaking to you ahead of time. My apologies for not speaking to you ahead of time. Here we have a different structure, but that means basically the same thing. My apologies, or I'm sorry, for not speaking to you ahead of time. Notice that we have this structure here. For and the verb in with the ing, which is the most important structure here in this sentence. Once again, I am indicating the reason why I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm sorry why? For not speaking to you. So I'm indicating the reason why I'm sorry. I could say, for instance, I'm sorry for not finishing the report. I'm sorry, why? For not finishing the report. Or even, I'm sorry for bothering you. I'm sorry, why? For bothering you. So I'm using the structure for and the verb in the ing to express my reason, right? So I can also use the structure of for and the verb in the gerund, that is the verb with ing, to express a reason for something. All right, moving on. We are ready to begin as soon as you give us the go ahead. We're ready to begin as soon as you give us the go ahead. We've already talked about this expression go ahead here last class, right? Go ahead means basically the authorization, which comes from the expression go ahead, right? So go on, move forward, do what you have to do, go ahead. We're ready to start working, just tell us when. We're ready to start working, just tell us when. You may have noticed that sometimes we see the verb start followed by another verb in the gerund, like start working, and sometimes we see the verb start followed by a verb in the infinitive, so start to work. Both situations are acceptable, okay? So there is a long list of verbs that require either gerund or infinitive after them, and there is another long list of verbs that accepts both. So when I have the word start and after I have another verb, this other verb can be either in the gerund form or in the infinitive form. So we're ready to start working or we're ready to start to work. Both are okay. All right? We can start working whenever you tell us to. You can start working whenever you tell us to. An interesting word here is the word whenever. Whenever, which indicates when you want or when you'd like, right? Whenever. Whenever is good for you. When you want, when you like, when is a good time for you. So whenever you tell us to, it doesn't matter when, it just matters that you tell us when, okay? We are ready when you are. We're ready when you are. An interesting thing here is the pronunciation of we're ready, right? We're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. Once again, we have a very long sound. We're ready, 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 we're ready when you are. Okay, moving forward. What restaurants would you recommend near my hotel? What restaurants would you recommend near my hotel? Let me just draw your attention here very quickly to the pronunciation of the word restaurant. Restaurant, 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 restaurant. What restaurants would you recommend? What restaurants would you recommend? What restaurants would you recommend near my hotel? All right. What hotels would you recommend near the office? What hotels would you recommend near the office? No secrets here. Where would you recommend me to go on my first day here? Where would you recommend me to go on my first day here? Again, no secrets. What is the best place to have lunch around here? What is the best place to have lunch around here? Once again, no big secrets. We have here four different ways of asking a person for a suggestion of a place to eat, right? Moving on, they have an excellent selection of local craft beers on tap. They have an excellent selection of local craft beers on tap. I've already talked to you about this in our previous class. Beer on tap is that beer that doesn't come in bottles or cans. It comes from the tap, right? Our popular shoppi, okay? They have a fantastic wine menu in this restaurant. They have a fantastic wine menu in this restaurant. No big deals here. They have dishes from all over the world here. They have dishes from all over the world here. The word dish sometimes can cause a little confusion because the word dish, the noun dish, let me make this clear here, the noun dish can mean more than one thing. First of all, it can mean a food container, some kind of plate, an object where you're gonna put the food, a travessa, tigela, something like that, right? So a food container. We could say, for instance, I put the apples on that dish, okay? Also, the noun dish can mean the food itself, so the food that is served. So I could say, I don't like this dish. I don't like this dish. I don't like this food that is being served, right? One more meaning for the word dish is an antenna, a parabólica, right? So if I say, I have to go up the roof and fix the dish, I'm probably talking about fixing the antenna, right? I have to go up the roof and fix the dish, so I have to go up the roof and fix the antenna. And now comes the biggest trick. When we put the word dish in the plural, dishes, right? Dishes, the plural of dish, can be food containers, so more than one dish. It can be more than one plate of food, so dishes, like in our example here, they have dishes from all over the world, they have food from all over the world. It can be more than one antenna, so I have to fix the dishes, so 2, 3, 4 antennas, right? But it can also mean silverware, right? So if I say I have to do the dishes, it means I have to wash the silverware, the forks, the spoons, the knives, and so on, right? So this is what can cause a little confusion. So the word dish, the noun dish, can mean all of these different things, and the plural of the noun dish can mean the plural of all those words, and also silverware, forks, knives, spoons, and so on. All right, moving forward. The food here is absolutely fantastic. The food here is absolutely fantastic. No problems there, I believe. Thank you very much for welcoming me. Thank you very much for welcoming me. We have already talked in our previous class about the many uses of the word welcome, right? So thank you very much for welcoming me. Thank you very much for receiving me, right? Thank you very much for your hospitality. Thank you very much for your hospitality. No problems there. Thanks for having me. This is an interesting expression here. If you have someone, to have someone means to receive someone as a guest. So if I say, for example, thank your parents for having me, what I'm saying is thank your parents for receiving me as a guest. So thanks for having me. Thanks for receiving me as a guest in your house. All right. Thank you for helping me settle in. Thank you for helping me settle in. We have already talked about the word settle in our previous class, right? So to settle in, to get organized, to get adapt to a new environment. Last page. I will get settled in and send you an email with tomorrow's schedule. I'll get settled in and send you an email with tomorrow's schedule. No secret here. I'll unpack my bags and let you know when I'm ready. I'll unpack my bags and let you know when I'm ready. Here, once again, we have the prefix un, but this time it's being followed by a verb, right? Unpack. When I'm using the prefix un together with a verb, what I'm talking about is reversing a state. So reverse, do the opposite. Do the opposite. So if I say unpack, pack means to get your bags organized for a trip, right? So if I say unpacked, I'm going to reverse the packing, right? Reverse the packing. I packed everything and now I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to reverse that state. If I say, for instance, then to undo means to reverse this action of doing. So do the opposite. If I say undress, it's the opposite of dressing. If I say uncage, it's the opposite of caging. So I put an animal in a cage and now I'm taking the animal out. I am reversing the action of caging the animal. All right, let's move forward. I'll check into the hotel and send you a message. I'll check into the hotel and send you a message. No big deals here. I'll find a place to stay and we'll talk about tomorrow. I'll find a place to stay and we'll talk about tomorrow. Once again, no problems there. So this is the end of our Business in Focus number 15. Now, don't forget to do your memorization hack practice. Listen to the sentences again as many times as you want. Practice all those pronunciation tips that I gave you today, and I'll see you in our next dialogue class. See you later, private.